This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
The Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, we are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Podcast will be uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. The Periscope is live on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. In case you would like to follow along with the video version of the show, you can go and check out fanrunradio.com for all the latest information regarding the Tennessee Athletic Department. Maybe it's about the basketball game day tomorrow, or maybe it's about the hiring of Danny White yesterday. You can go and find the latest news right there at fanrunradio.com. And then, hey, last but not least, go ahead and download the free FREE Fan Run Radio app. It's a great thing to download. Take the show, take the station, wherever you're headed throughout the day, each and every day. But, of course, hey, you already knew all that. Hour number one is in the books, and hour number two is on deck. Rick Butler, Brandon Orrick, Charlie Collier, and, of course, the one and only Chance Collins with you here. And, guys, I don't want to waste any more time. We have a big guest joining the show right now. So, Chance, let's hop over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, and let's welcome into the show senior writer and columnist for The Athletic in Nashville, also one of the hosts on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome to the show, Joe Rexroad. Joe, welcome in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Hey, we are doing tremendous. It's a wild day here. Man, it's so crazy how things can so radically change from just 2 days ago to where we are now sitting here as Tennessee fans, huh?
Talk about whiplash, you know. this week was going not great. Now, I suppose, you know, a lot of Tennessee fans wanted Jeremy Pruitt fired, so I guess you could look at that as a good thing for them, but then you look at the transfer portal just filling up with a lot of the best players, you know, on this roster, and no idea what's gonna happen, no idea who Tennessee might get as an AD, who Tennessee might get as a coach, how bad these sanctions are, and of course we still don't know about that, but, you know, you get Danny White in there, that's a big-time move. And talk about moving quickly. And that tells me that should ease what I think should have been a fear, which is that they were going to try to do some, like, interim year with Kevin Steele. I think that would have been a bad idea. You're basically giving up another class by doing that. And so now I think, you know, Danny White's going to get out there and probably be real aggressive in doing the number one thing that's going to determine his legacy as Tennessee's AD. This football hire.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The importance really can't be understated, especially with just everything that's been going on. But, you know, we talk about that hire of Danny White, and with just one hire, we've talked about just in the last couple of days how the perception here among the fans have changed. But really, as well, with that one hire, how much can that affect a football team from the inside? How much can that really change the culture of the program, having a guy like Danny White be brought in, maybe after a little bit of the situation not being stable? How much can that elevate the culture of a program from the inside?
You know, that's a good question. I hadn't really thought about it in those terms. I don't know. I think certainly if you are a Tennessee football player right now on the fence about staying or leaving, you probably feel a little better if you are familiar. I mean, I don't know how many, like, college football players like keep up on like ADs, you know.
Sure.
But you got to know the name, and you can easily find that this guy has been very successful at hiring coaches, at raising money, at being an effective athletic director. So knowing that there's someone like that, that Tennessee went out and said, we're getting a leader, we're paying him, and he's coming in right now, I would think you would feel better at least. But, you know, I mean, I think most of what you're talking about there is going to be dictated by what Danny White does, obviously, with this hire.
Joe, going back to Monday when Jeremy Pruitt was fired, and Dondi Plowman said that there would be no buyout, he's being terminated for cause. What is that looking like now? I know Jeremy Pruitt has lawyered up, and he's going to do everything that he can to kind of get some of his money, but Tennessee doesn't want this thing to go to court, do they?
No, and I don't see how it does. You know, I mean, look, I think I don't have a great answer. I do know that obviously Michael Lyons represented David Beatty in the Kansas case. Now that was really like, to me, just a shady AD move with Kansas, because they fired him initially and said, basically, you know, you don't win, you're fired, no surprise. And then after the fact, they tried to come back with, like, the video coordinator was coaching on the field. It was like these ticky-tack NCAA rules to try to get out of the $3 million buyout. They end up having to pay $2.55 of it. That's not this. I mean, this, and we don't know exactly what this is. I mean, I've heard some things. I'm sure you guys have heard some things. This is going to be serious, much more serious than that. But if Jeremy Pruitt, if there's not a direct Jeremy Pruitt cash payment to someone, I just have my doubts that he's walking away with zero here. And to your question, Tennessee does not want this to actually get to a courtroom. No way. I think there'll be a settlement. I'll be fascinated to see what it is, and how much he can get out of it, and then what kind of rhetoric we get in the meantime. I think it could be very interesting.
Joe, something that, you know, we wanted to get you on for, especially was the article that you talked to some anonymous coaches in college football right now, and you pretty much, you know, you were talking about Tennessee, and your tweet was, "Can dumpster fires be irresistible? How football coaches really view the Tennessee job?" And we were just talking about Jeremy Pruitt and the sanctions and the cheating. Something that I was kind of surprised in your article was the way some of the anonymous coaches, I guess, responded maybe to the payment of players and what went on here at Tennessee. Were you kind of surprised by some of the responses? I mean, I know it was anonymous, and maybe you don't get all of the truth, or maybe you get the full truth, but were you kind of shocked? And how many of the coaches were really shocked about, like, how sloppy things have been, you know, talked about that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff were doing?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't surprised by much. And frankly, you know, one of the coaches served up, this program does this, and this program does this, and this. I mean, you talk to enough coaches, and one thing you'll find is they like to talk about other coaches on their backs, you know. Now, of course, this coach is listing these programs, and I did not list them in the story. Now, if he would have given me his name, I certainly would have done that, you know, but I mean, I think those stories can be effective when you provide the anonymity, because obviously they can open up. That said, I directly asked all of them about their own cheating. They're like, no, of course not. You know, and it's like, okay. I mean, even with the anonymous protection, it's hard to get coaches to admit much. There, one of the coaches did talk about, yeah, I mean, if one of my kids needs some cash, I'm giving them the money. I don't care about the. And good for him. And sure, frankly, good for any coach who cheats, because if you don't cheat, then you're not going to compete at this level, and everybody knows that. And this is why this whole dog and pony show press conference talking about integrity, it just burns me up, because it just comes down to, did you get caught or not? But I think the perception of Pruitt, and I think it's the accurate perception, is that he was very sloppy and reckless and stupid. Which is surprising, because Jeremy Pruitt came from places that bring in top-shelf talent, and these places have not had NCAA issues, which means these places know how to cheat well. And so that's, I mean, that's just, I think that's one prevailing thing I got from this, is sort of like, what's up with this dude? Like, what was he doing? And you know, we're going to find out more details on that here in the coming weeks.
Sure. And kind of following up to that real quick, and this is just something, a quick thought I had while you had said that. There's a quote here from one of these coaches, and you kind of use this in the baseline and the headline of your tweet, but talking about how Tennessee might even be looked at as a, quote, irresistible job. We've been kind of going back and forth the last couple of days about, you know, with the violations potentially looming, with all the consequences that could be coming down, how attractive is this job to other people with kind of the uphill climb? But according to a coach here, that might not be the case. How irresistible do you think this job might actually be? That's a crazy word to me.
Well, I went through it the other day, and I think I ranked Tennessee like 16th in the country in terms of just quality of job, attractiveness of job. So it's still on a short list, and it's not going much lower than that. You know, one thing that, like, when you go back to Schiano and all that stuff, I thought was always a misperception for a lot of people was that outpouring, which obviously some people took it way too far. I mean, some people were ridiculous that day, but that would be some kind of a deterrent. And as these coaches told me, and others have too, like, no, man, you have a place where you can put 100K plus in your stadium. When you have an entire state wrapped up in this program and you have just millions of people passionate, no, that's never a bad thing. Sure, you got some crazies and you're going to have to deal with that, but most coaches are trying to whip up that kind of passion and support.
Sure.
So that's what's irresistible. I mean, the facilities, the resources, it's not perfectly positioned in terms of access to talent compared. And look, I mean, I'm putting this job seventh in the SEC. That's the hard part. You know, is you can be that strong nationally. It's just like with recruiting classes, and you can be still middle of the pack in your own league. But, I mean, how many coaches in this country take all the hundreds of, you know, a few thousand, I guess, college football coaches in this country wouldn't drop everything and hitchhike to Knoxville right now to take the job? There's probably about 20.
So do you buy
of course,
in? Oh, sorry. Do you buy into the fact that Tennessee's fan base could be a potential limiting factor to hiring an outside head coach? Because that's something that people have loved to come back to from time to time, is that, you know, other coaches might view the quote-unquote hostility of Tennessee's fan base as something that isn't exactly appealing. Do you buy into that kind of theory or notion?
I think that's total BS.
Yeah,
I think
me too.
That's just stupid. That's ridiculous. Now, listen, I do buy into what's up with the boosters, what's up with the administration, why has this been why are we going into a second decade now with people making the wrong choices and not being on the same page and having this apparent dysfunction? That is all real. And you know, I think that, frankly, when they announced Danny White yesterday, I'm like, gosh, I wish I had done this thing after knowing that. And how would that have factored into the answers? But, no, the hostility of the fan. Look, man, fans equal. That brings everything that you need for a program. And Tennessee, sure. I mean, dude, go to Ohio State's fan base and give them 10-plus years of this crap and tell me how they'd be. They'd be absolutely unbearable. I mean, it's just how it is. You want this kind of fan base, and very, very few programs have this kind of fan base.
Joe, you just talked about, you know, the level of job that Tennessee is. Do you think that the hiring now of Danny White makes this a more desirable job, and would you say that's a significant increase, if so?
I think so. I mean, I think, like, okay, so a guy who, and I'm not saying, like, they would even approach him or he would take it over, but I think of a guy like Luke Fickell, who to me is one of the, you know, one of the kind of rising stars in coaching, done tremendous work at Cincinnati, learned a lot from his little brief time at Ohio State. I think he's a guy who at some point here is going to have one of these big, big jobs. Like, if I would not have even thought he would give a glance to Tennessee before now. And now with Danny White, I don't know. I mean, that just as an example, I just feel like you've widened the pool of who you can go after here. Because from what we know of Danny White, and it's the fact that he took this job, if you're a coach, you want to know that you have an AD who's actually in charge, and you're going to work with him, and he's going to fight for you and get you everything you need, and you've got to feel way better about this job now that he's in place.
Joe, we already saw a pretty quick hire with the athletic director. Do you think what do you think the timeline now looks like, you know, for hiring a head coach?
Well, I would assume it'd be pretty short, you know. I mean Tennessee gets this search firm, and it's like, I mean, I guess they're making up for all the lawyer hours they paid. Like, get that search firm done. Now they think, give us a name. All right, we're hiring him, but goodbye. See you later. You know, I would think you move this fast, you get your AD, so you can move real fast to get your coach. And it doesn't mean they're going to be haphazard about it and just go hire anyone. But, you know, I'm sure before anything was signed by Danny White, he had his list. All ADs have their list. And he had an idea of where he's going here. So, hey, look, you know how it is with Tennessee. I mean, we should be ready at any moment for big news to break. And, I like, if it's next week, I'm not shocked.
Do you think if, depending on the hire, that some of these players that have recently entered the portal, do you think that there's a chance that any of them could be swayed to come back and that could influence potentially the timeline of this coaching hire?
I think that's possible. You know, I mean, obviously, some of these guys are kind of tied to Niedermeyer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you can do some easy dot connecting on some of these departures. But I would think that there'd be some guys who, if you give them a really impressive coach, and, you know, they know the lay of the land, they've got teammates and friends still on the team, that maybe they would reconsider. And I'm sure that's one of the, you know, one of the first things you do. You take over a situation like this as a coach is you recruit the team and maybe the guys who just left the team first.
Joe, last one for me. You know, we've been hearing a lot of people say, and even we talked about this in our first hour, it just seems different this time. And you talked about how fans, you know, you should feel a little bit more at ease with Tennessee going out and getting Danny White. And I think when I heard the news yesterday, I thought to myself, Tennessee actually made a hire that made them look like Tennessee again. Tennessee remembered they were Tennessee yesterday is how I thought about it. When you think about that, just quickly, I mean, do you think they got it right this time? And, you know, how much of a commitment do you think that they're showing? And does it feel different to you? I guess what I'm getting, because you've been covering the Vols. It just seems this coaching search seems a little different. It seems like they might actually get it right this time with that hiring yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to – I agree. It's a great sign. I also don't want, you know, like, keep it even keel because there's no guarantee that Danny White's going to make the right choice, because that's what it comes down to. Does he make the right choice? But, I, you know, my buddy David Cobb, who, you know, covered the Vols and now covers college sports for CBS, he had a tweet yesterday basically like, what's the last athletics hire for Tennessee that had this kind of, you know, this kind of, I guess, appeal and this kind of unanimous, like, wow, impressive. And honestly, I thought about that, and I'm going back to Lane Kiffin. I really am. I think that the football hires have been, you know, have been down the list after the top options. Rick Barnes, I think there's a lot of revisionist history on Rick Barnes has been an amazing hire. But when he took the job, this was not some big, oh, wonderful Tennessee. I mean, you know, I don't think there weren't a ton of people expecting him to do what he's done. I think this goes back to Lane Kiffin. The last time Tennessee made a hire that people were like, oh, okay. Now, again, this is the guy who has to hire the guy, you know. But I also think that beyond the football search, you know, Danny White now, this is a great fundraiser. This is a guy who has been able to mix it up and isn't afraid to mix it up publicly either at times, has a swagger. I think someone who he could get maybe not the exact right guy for this hire, and he could still be a really good AD for Tennessee for, you know, 10, 15 years, and that should be exciting too.
Absolutely, and you know, I think that's probably a great place to wrap things up on, just kind of the outlook of the future of Tennessee. Where do things go from here? You got to feel like Tennessee put themselves in a good position to make things happen down the road. Again, we talked about at the beginning of the show, one of the biggest thoughts that I had was for once in a while, and for as long as I've been watching, really feels like Tennessee put the director and the athletic director higher. Joe, man, thanks for jumping on with us, and thanks for taking a little bit of time out of your busy day to talk a little bit of Tennessee football with us right here on the Blitz. We appreciate all your time.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Once again, that was Joe Rexroad. Once again, the senior writer and columnist for The Athletic in Nashville. Him and David Ubben do fantastic stuff for The Athletic, and we are so thankful for all the reporting that they do because, hey, it gives us great stuff to talk about. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Rexroad. Rexrode, and obviously you can go find him at theathletic.com or on 102.5 The Game in Nashville, co-host of the Robbie and Rex Road Show. Great stuff there. Let's talk about it a little bit after the break. We also got to get into the basketball game tomorrow night and the NFL playoffs. It's a big hour. Don't miss it. Why your feet are stumping? And the gym as if you couldn't get any more news.
We got breaking news, Rick.
We have more. We have more! There's more news!
There is more news. I'm going to go to the desk. I'll play the short one for you.
And we'll go over to the desk. Chance Collins with your news of the day. I wonder what the people think.
This just in, hat tip to Jimmy Himes. Two Tennessee football players who have entered the transfer portal will re-enroll at Tennessee. And this just in, boys, both starters, the names are expected to be made public soon. Bring in a little white, get a little hope.
Wonder who they are.
I do wonder who they are. I'm hoping one is Hank T. Hoping one's Hank T.
Did Hank T get cash?
Of course not. Not our guy, Hank T.
Did he get caught? Did he get caught with cash?
Better question. Better question. Better question. Good answer.
Every player on good that
answer.
Team has cash.
Good answer.
What is this, Family Feud?
Good answer. Good answer.
Hey,
I did that to somebody the other day in real life, and they just lost it.
I mean, Hank T got the play
knows
in
I
the
said
final
in real
game.
Life.
Real quick, don't you hate on when you're watching Family Feud, and they just give a terrible answer?
And everybody else, oh, good answer. Good answer.
Like, no, you're not. Don't lie. No. It's a terrible answer.
No, just tell Jimmy.
Just smack
it was
him upside
awful.
The head and be like, what are you doing?
This is a bad answer.
Anyway,
Jimmy Himes also brought some news just 3 minutes after that one was sent out. Maybe some names to keep in mind. He said Tennessee new athletic director Danny White will likely have on his head coaching list Clemson OC Tony Elliott. We had discussed that one. SMU coach Sonny Dykes.
Oh, please no. That's, Sonny had his day. Not anymore. No.
And Buffalo coach Lance Leopold.
Oh, man, yes. No.
Yes.
No.
White, he says if White moves with the swiftness UT did in hiring him, don't be surprised if UT has a coach in place within 4 to 5 days. Of course, that's what we were talking about at the beginning
also
of the show.
Also coming from, you said that was from who?
Jimmy. Jimmy Himes.
Don't forget.
Is Jeff Brom on the list,
Jeff
too?
Brom, Tennessee head coach.
Former Tennessee head coach.
Former Tennessee coach, yeah.
I do not want Lance Leopold, sorry. I know he's doing great things. And
Lance
he's done
Leopold is the one that I want most out of those three.
Yeah.
Out of those three.
I'd take Tony Elliott out of those three.
I wouldn't hate Tony Elliott.
He's been offensive coordinator for Clemson.
But see, to me,
want an offensive minded coach. I'm taking him over Leopold. He's won a national title.
But so did Jeremy Pruitt. And to me, Tony Elliott, he's been a co-OC at Clemson for like 4 years. I think he's been the OC for like two.
He's
not done it without loads of talent and without Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry, no.
We
don't have that here.
I do think
we don't have loads of talent. We don't have Trevor Lawrence. Sorry, you're out.
I do think we have to brace ourselves for a hire that could potentially look like Tony Elliott or something similar, just because that's kind of been Danny White's recipe is hiring guys similar to that. Nate Oates was critiqued when he was hired.
As an offensive coordinator.
Leopold was critiqued when he was hired. Frost was critiqued when he was hired. Heupel was critiqued when he was hired. He's had success hiring some of these up-and-comers, some of these coordinators, and then being good coaches. Now, granted, some of that was circumstance because at places like Buffalo and UCF,
exactly.
You don't really have the resources to go hire anything else but that. However, it has worked for him, and so I think that could be something that he goes back to, especially if he's looking to make a quicker hire.
I can see maybe, you know, maybe again going back to a similar route that's worked in the past, like you're talking about right there. But, man, if we have, you know, what we've heard, and if this number is true with the whole $7 million that we've been hearing, somewhere around that number, if we're putting $7 million plus into this thing, and I'm desperately hoping that $7 million does not get us coming away with the Buffalo head coach. That's just, you know, my
I don't want the Buffalo head coach. I'm taking the OC, who's a Broyles Award winner and, you know, been a part of national titles. And I know that you're right. Pruitt came from the same ilk. You know, he's a defensive coordinator, part of national titles.
With loads of talent.
With loads of talent. I mean, if you can't go out and you can't go get me, Kiffin, Freeze, Luke Fickell, even.
I would take Jamie Chadwell over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Over Leopold.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Well, over Tony Elliott and all three. Leopold.
Over all three. Sonny Dykes had his day.
No one's going to mention my pony.
No, he had his day.
Sonny Dykes should not even be. Just erase that name from your mind.
He had his day.
Sonny Dykes?
Go ponies.
Please. I do have this. Friday, 22nd of January, today, there's a flight. En route from McGee Tyson Airport that left at 10:59 a.m. headed to GSP, which is
George St. Pierre.
No, Greer, South Carolina, which is Greenville, Spartanburg.
Yeah,
around Clemson area.
Tony White.
I mean,
getting his interview
Tony
today.
Tony
Elliott.
Yeah,
he's got to get an interview more than likely. If you know,
hey, nothing wrong with
he's
some
a
interviews.
Hot name.
Nothing wrong,
but. Danny White has a press conference in 30 minutes, so I don't think he's on that plane.
Mm.
Oh, that's right. We didn't forget about that. Danny White will be introduced with the press conference at UT coming up here at 12:05. Be sure to stay tuned into Talk Sports, as they will give you any kind of breaking news that does come out of Danny White's inaugural press conference.
Maybe they're just going to pick him up and bring him back.
Quick little pickup. Guys, we've really exhausted a lot of the different routes in this athletic director hiring, and certainly there's still so much more to get into. But before we do anything else, Chance, you want to go over to the phone lines?
Yeah, we'll take a call on the G3 Help Me Hotlines with Nate from Georgia.
There we go. Nate, good morning. Welcome back to the show. Happy to have you back. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. Glad to be back with you guys on this beautiful day on the – of another
it's a beautiful
great coaching
Friday.
Hire.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest, this list that Jimmy just put out just makes me feel like we just fell into the past like three coaching hires all over again. Like, what is that, Sonny Dykes? What?
Yeah,
what?
Man, if we're going to pony up all the resources for this hire, if we're going to put more resources than we've used in the past for it, then let's not wind up with a Sonny Dykes type of coach.
And who was it that reported this maybe $7 million a year figure? Was it Trent?
So I don't believe that was an actual report. That's kind of a speculation going around, if I'm wrong, around the table.
No, that
somebody
talks,
correct me.
No, that's
just talk.
But
rumors.
That I don't believe that's
just
been
rumors.
An actual report, just kind of, again, speculation, something
okay.
That's being thrown around. So I hope we...
But we do,
yeah, go ahead.
We do know that Randy Boyd wanted somebody with head coaching experience and said that publicly already in the middle of this. I mean, obviously he's not going to be making the hire. That's why you go and hire somebody that was already the highest paid athletic director in the state of Florida. And now we just paid him almost $400,000 more, whatever it ends up being. I think it's, you know, $700,000 more. And he's going to come in and hire a coordinator that he already considered for the last job that he was at, which would be a stepping stone to the University of Tennessee, blue blood. I don't buy it.
Yeah,
like, that's an interesting point. Like it feels like Tony Elliott would get hired from Tennessee or to Tennessee from a UCF.
Yeah, like it makes
that's
sense.
That's a great point.
It makes sense that Danny White interviewed and almost hired Tony Elliott at UCF.
Yes.
Like that's the next step for Tony Elliott. I feel like how can you convince me? How is he going to be able to convince Tennessee fans? Okay, so I didn't hire Tony Elliott at UCF. I hired Josh Heupel, but now that I'm at Tennessee, I'm going to hire Tony Elliott. Okay, so he wasn't good enough for the UCF job, but he's good enough for the Tennessee. No.
And he's good enough for the Tennessee job after making me one of the highest paid athletic directors in the country, and uprooting him from a UCF job that he was extremely secure in. He didn't need to leave that job. He could have retired probably in it at some point. Actually, in his contract, it was a rolling 5-year contract. It literally just renewed every year, annually. Boom, another 5 years. Boom, another 5 years. I appreciate you guys. I was just hanging up and listening now. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call, Nate. Glad to have you back here in 2 days in a row. And really a great thought there. I am 100% with you that it feels like, you know, it doesn't necessarily feel like that's a perfect match in regards to Tennessee and everything that's going on. But granted, I do think we have to balance that out with, you know, look, the Lane Kiffin rumors are swirling right now. And everybody, every time you get on Twitter, it's a new Lane Kiffin meme or something like that. Obviously, that opportunity is something to get excited about. But we still have to realize that's a once in a blue moon maybe kind of situation. That's a far out there opportunity. So we can't get crushed if that's not going to be it. Still got to take into everything into consideration what we've been talking about the last couple days. There's still going to be some scholarships likely removed, and there's still going to be a postseason ban for a little while. But then again, I got to be honest. My mind got changed a little bit after talking with Joe Rexroad and what he had written about with some of these coaches. Still an irresistible job here in this country.
Yeah, I would advise everyone out there to take everything you see regarding coaching candidates with a grain of salt in the next 24 to 48 hours, because you have a couple things going on. You have members of the media that are in a hurry to just try to have some answers, because all the fans want to know who the potential candidates are. So they're, you know, might not have sources that are saying, hey, we're going to interview this guy, we're going to interview that guy. It's just, well, there's some sort of connection here. Yeah, he's a potential candidate. And then you also have agents that are out here influencing media into trying to get some of the guys that they represent into news coverage about them being potential candidates to be able to leverage that in the future. You know, we've had an AD for about 24 hours. There's probably not a ton of real information out there about who he's realistically looking at as a candidate. So just let things play out and don't overreact too much to anything you see on Twitter about candidates.
8:30 p.m. tomorrow night, Tennessee, home game against Missouri. Tennessee ranked 6th, Missouri ranked 19th.
Before we move on to basketball, what if one of the players that are coming back that Jimmy Himes alluded to?
Yeah.
What if it's JG?
It's not.
That's inexcusable.
He's already signed. He's already up in Washington doing his thing, slinging balls,
Pullman?
Spitting game.
Yeah. He's over in Pullman. He's all right. The answer to that question is no, Brandon Orrick. 19 Missouri, number 6 Tennessee tomorrow night from Thompson Bowling Arena, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get you ready for that game. Tennessee needs a bounce-back game after the loss to Florida here earlier in the week. We'll tell you exactly how they can get that win at home tomorrow night. Don't go anywhere. Closing the show out with a little bit of basketball.
I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich. Throw that to the side.
All right, gentlemen. It sure as heck has been a chaotic week here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Wow. Starting with the firing of your head coach. Many other people got fired. Things looked like they were nuked beyond belief. Then you make a big hire. Oh, but before that, you also got housed by Florida on the basketball court the day that the firings happened.
I can't have that. It was the day after the firing.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, so the day after.
I can't have that tomorrow.
And then one day later, you go out there and you hire Danny White. What an amazing move. And now we're going to finish out the weekend. Who knows? You may even get some more news. Things around here, news can happen at any moment. But we know that you're at least going to end your weekend on Saturday night with a little bit more Tennessee basketball. Can they rebound after the 26-point loss to Florida on Tuesday night? Gentlemen, there are three big storylines that I think are interesting heading into this game, and I want to get your thoughts on each of them. So, first and foremost, obviously, this game going to be at 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night. 19-ranked Missouri, 6th-ranked Tennessee. Tennessee won this previous matchup here a couple weeks ago by 20 points on the road in Columbia, and a dominating performance to open up SEC play. Now, looking at the current lineup of the team, you got a couple guys who are dealing with some nagging injuries. We know that Jaden Springer did not play on Tuesday. They say that he could have gone. Maybe he was about 75% or so. But in order to hopefully not re-aggravate that injury, holding him out until this weekend, they felt like was best. He had limited practice on Thursday, but was on the court in full participation at some points. So I believe that the staff is optimistic that Springer will return to the lineup against Missouri coming up on Saturday night. Santiago Vescovi, also dealing with a little bit of a nagging injury. He, of course, had that hip injury that was flaring up a little bit that we'd heard about on Tuesday. How is he going to be a little bit more healed up for Saturday? I definitely think that's going to be something to watch. It seems like Tennessee has been careful with these guys coming up through this week because they know how important this game against Missouri is coming up on Saturday. And that leads me to my second point. It's important because, man, you look at the SEC rankings, and you are starting to get into a point where the rankings are starting to take place. Like, they're starting to take form. It's not just, you know, scattered team after a couple wins here and there. It looks fairly legitimate. And so Tennessee cannot afford to lose another game here. You're already 2.5 games behind Alabama for the lead in the SEC. Don't want to drop another one. Don't want to fall behind the eight ball anymore. So certainly those injuries, you want to keep them back a little bit, because you wanted to be healthy for this game against this game on Saturday night. Any kind of thoughts on either of those points?
Well, I mean, you can't afford to lose this one. You can't afford to lose
two
straight.
No.
Especially with this one being at home.
And this could be another top 25 win, which, you know, we've lost two to unranked teams. So adding as many top 25 wins as you can get, that's always going to be beneficial.
For tomorrow's game, I'm going to be looking at three guys.
Okay.
John Fulkerson, Eve Pons, Victor Bailey Jr.
So why the first two guys, Fulkerson and Pons?
Those two guys have got to step up. Not just on the not just in terms of scoring and playing defense, because, I mean, Fulkerson had 15 the other night. That was led the team. Their leadership is lacking. They are the two seniors on this team. And I think I said it earlier in the week. I think that's the biggest problem with this team, is you don't have leadership. You don't have anybody on this team that's going to step up and say, we need to get this together. Also, I don't think we have a guy that you can say, okay, we need a bucket. Who are you going to go to? You've got a bunch of guys that you feel, yeah, okay, they can go get it if they need to, maybe. But you don't have that one guy where you're just like, game's on the line, 30 seconds to go, down one, you need one shot.
You know,
who's taking it?
Yeah, to go along with that point too, I think we obviously have guys that we would want to have the ball. Like, we could sit here and have a 10-minute long conversation about, you know, hey, I would want Jaden Springer to have the ball in that situation. I would want Fulkerson. I would want Vescovi. And, of course, we have those reasons for all those guys. But at the end of the day, I think you're right in the fact that we don't necessarily, I think, have that one guy who we know can say, hey, this is a guy who we've seen in the clutch be a game changer, who we know, for lack of a better phrase, is a walking bucket and can have the ability to shoot the ball lights out and go and make that bucket or go and take over the last 10 minutes of a game.
I think we're a little bit too unselfish as a team. We pass out of open looks too much to try to facilitate when there are times that guys just need to go get their own shot. And I agree with both of you. You know, there hasn't been that hot hand, that go get a bucket guy. There hasn't been as much leadership as I like. But the biggest thing I look at is, it sounds simple. I mean, it's an easy thing to say, but just make your shots. Tennessee is number one in the entire country in shot quality differential when it comes to shot quality your defense forces versus shot quality your offense gets.
What a massive stat.
They're number one. Their shot quality is off the charts offensively, and their expected points based on the shot quality is falling underwhelmingly short of what it should be. And, you know, it's not necessarily the easiest fix because – I mean, what do you do besides just make those shots? But that's what you have to do. You have to start making shots. And we saw the last time they played Missouri, it was one of their most efficient nights from the field of the season, if not the most efficient. So maybe, you know, playing that similar opponent again, you can find that offensive efficiency again, you know, tomorrow. But I wouldn't just have the expectation that you're going to be able to handle Missouri again because you did the first time on the road. Because that first time you were so efficient from the field, and as of late, you've struggled to make the shots.
Yeah, you know, to that point as well, you look at this, you look at the Tennessee team, and you got to think about, hey, how can they make shots? And obviously, that's a much easier question to ask than to actually answer. But I think that one of the ways they're going to try is potentially with a little bit of a lineup change. After the last game against Florida, Rick Barnes kind of vowed to throw in some changes to the lineup, to mix and match some things, to get some different energy on the court. We have still yet to see how much he makes good on that. But do you have any kind of expectations to the lineup heading into Saturday's game? Or just do you believe that in some kind of way it's going to change?
I mean,
or do you think that it's pretty much just going to be the same?
I mean, I think he'll switch it up a little bit. To me, the biggest thing, it drives me insane. We miss too many easy shots around the rim, and we miss too many free throws. Fix the things that are fixable.
Yeah. Go out there and win tomorrow. Final segment of the Blitz coming up next.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alvin Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the...
Here we go, back here on the Blitz, final segment, closing out the week in what has been truly a wild and chaotic week. Hey, thanks for tuning in with us this whole week so far, and hey, make sure you are sticking in touch with Fox Sports Knoxville and everything we got going on over here, because we have, if you've been in touch with this radio station, you have been in touch with everything going on here at Tennessee recently. But man, now that that's kind of out of the way, we have some other stuff to look into, and one of the things we have to look at is the NFL playoffs this Sunday. I know we didn't get really to talk about it today, but still, I can't wait.
Yeah, we can make some quick predictions, but it is championship weekend, so listen up, football fans. I have the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting for you this weekend. Guess what it's called? It's called a same-game parlay bet, and they are only available with our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger payout during the championship weekend round. You can combine the money line. You can do the over-under. You can even add player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel's letting you protect your parlay. That's right. You can place a 3-plus same-game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. Is just one of the many ways to win with our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. We told you about it multiple times. It's easy to use. Fast withdrawals. They get your money to you in as little as 24 hours. Also, all the odd boosts and specials that they have every day, and even bigger boosts each weekend. We're talking about college basketball, NBA. You can do the same game parlay also on the NBA side. But football championship weekend, this is going to be the time to do it this weekend. They have a range of betting options. Also, live betting and multiple product features that we love. The multi-game parlay also included with the same game parlay, so you can get a massive payout with a small bet. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started and use the promo code Blitz at signup. That's promo code Blitz at signup. If you are a current customer, then you are all set. Go check out the same game parlays today, only available for our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund is $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for a problem with gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
There you go, man. Go make some money this weekend. Hey, why not? Let's go predict a little bit of these games. Let's get our thoughts out there. So we're checking in, Sunday afternoon, the first game on the menu. What will it be? I'm a little behind.
Green Bay and Tampa. The Battle of the Bays.
The Battle of the Bays. I like that. 3:05 p.m. Let's go around the table. Who will advance to the coveted spot in the Super Bowl?
Charlie.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Quickly.
Packers and the Chiefs.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
Okay. I didn't think he was going to be that quick.
We got it.
We should have been. We don't need to ask him anymore.
Nope.
Packers come in as a 3-point favorite. I think it's going to be a tight game. Packers obviously look for a little revenge. NFC Championship game last season. Lost to the 49ers. Played the Buccaneers this year. Lost 40-10. Something like that. It was pretty bad. Aaron Rodgers' revenge tour. I hope it stays. It keeps going. I'm going to go with the Packers. I am very nervous about the game. I am not that confident in it because of the way it happened earlier in the season, but I definitely want the Packers to win.
You should be nervous, Chance. You should be nervous because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, TB12.
You can't doubt Tom Brady. Mm-mm. People have done it many times. Many times, and they've doubted him.
I agree.
Chancellor.
But. I think your Packers get it done, Chance.
Chancellor.
Close game.
Chancellor.
I think it's going to be a close one.
You should not be nervous about this game coming up at 3:05 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Chance, I do believe in the Aaron Rodgers vengeance tour, the revenge tour. It started all the way back when they took that quarterback in the draft. You knew that moment that the Super Bowl was in the sights for Aaron Rodgers. I'm not betting against that. You shouldn't either. Give me the win in a dominant fashion. And I hope I don't eat these words, because really it was just a rant. AFC Championship, Sunday evening, 6:40 p.m., Buffalo, Kansas City. Will Patrick Mahomes play? Who knows? Who's going to the Super Bowl?
I'm taking the Chiefs. I want to believe in Josh Allen. I want the Bills to win. But I think it's going to be Kansas City and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I want to see the Bills, too, just for the story, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs, too. I think Mahomes plays, and I think they roll them, too.
Yeah, you guys both took the words out of my mouth. I'm going to be cheering for Buffalo, but I do think that, you know, Kansas City's not going to lose this game. I think they know how to get there. If that's our Super Bowl, Green Bay, Kansas City, I'm good. But regardless, man, we got two great games. We got four great teams. Should be a lot of fun.
Quickly on the way out, we got 3 days today. National Blonde Brownie Day. I like blonde brownies.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Those are really good. I like those better than brownies, actually.
Yes, they're so much better.
It's also Celebration of Life today, Life Day. So go out and celebrate life.
If you're a champion today, celebrate it.
Hey, champions of life. Also, it is National Sanctity of Human Life Day.
Wow.
Okay. A lot of appreciating human life today. A
lot of appreciation today. Hey. Have a great weekend. Be appreciative. Go tell someone that you got a friend in them. Hey, have a wonderful day. We'll see you Monday, same time, same place. This has been The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your complete